Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is J.P. Miller, the founder and publisher of Empire Report New York, an online aggregator for New York State political news. It's terrific. If you haven't seen it, you should go there. You can find out more at www.empirereportnewyork.com. Again, empirereportnewyork.com. That's one word, except for the dot and the com. J.P., John Paul Miller, was formerly Mitt Romney's New York, New Jersey, Connecticut finance director in both 2008 and 2012. Welcome back, J.P. Miller. We always love to have you and your unique take on the way things are going.
Thank you for having me, Alan.
Yeah. So let me start by asking you a little bit about your report, which everybody reads now. I mean, a lot of people have tried it, but this is by far the best that it has ever been done. And you sort of mix it up. You have great stuff about, you know, the political stuff. But you also go to other places that people enjoy seeing, and some of the Tab stuff, some of the New York Post stuff. It's all great. It's one of the first things I see. What time do you have to get up in the morning to do this thing?
I do a lot the night before, so I do a lot between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. the night before, and then every morning I wake up at 4 a.m. to scan the news. And what people really love to see is that if you could read every local paper around New York State, 50 papers, you wouldn't find necessarily a ton of great stories, but you find a little great story here and there, and those small stories can turn into big statewide stories.
For example?
When you put them on the Empire Report. Well, there is a state senator up in Buffalo that's been charged recently with some felonies, Senator Ort, and that was a story that wouldn't necessarily make statewide news. It would really be in the Buffalo News and some other Western New York papers, but we had it on the Empire Report, and people in Long Island, people in New York City, people in the Hudson Valley are all reading about this Western New York state senator who's been charged with some felonies. And I think that it helps readers, people that are really interested in politics, to see what is really going on in New York. And you can't do that unless you read all 50 newspapers, or if you don't want to read all 50 newspapers in the state, you can read the Empire Report.
So I wanted to ask you about something. I noticed that one of the ways you're making this thing pay for itself is that you're having sponsors. Is that very expensive?
I would say it is a relatively expensive sponsorship, and the case that we make to sponsors is that we have the most influential audience in the state looking at this site. We have people in state government, county government, local government, media people. So, you know, I believe the producer of your show looks at our site, and that's one of the many sources that
you're right.
So it's a very influential site, and that's the case that we try to make to advertisers, that if you want to get your message out to the most important people in the state, that you should advertise on our site.
Right. Okay. Is it working?
It is working. So
I see you have clothes on, so you can pay for them.
I do have clothes on, and we've been profitable. We've been in business for 12 months. We were profitable after 10 months.
Really?
Yeah, and I wouldn't say wildly profitable, but we turned our first dollar of profit after 10 months in business, which I'm excited about. We have low overhead. And
you say we. Is that the royal we, or do you have
royal
partners?
The royal we. I've got one other person that works with me.
Uh-huh. And that person has to be paid, unlike you, who will be last online.
I'm the last online, and yes, that person has to be paid. But what it is, Alan, it's really a labor of love. I love doing it every day. I love breaking news, and I love to see what really the readers like to read. I don't always know what is going to be the most exciting story.
But you can tell us, right? In other words, based on your stats, you can tell us what people wanted to read first. Right?
Absolutely. And that's what's interesting to me. I love finding that stuff out, and the stuff I might think something's interesting and people don't click on it, and the stuff that I don't think is interesting, people love clicking on.
So I noticed that you often take the top stories out of a huge batch and put them above the fold, as we say. And Andrew Cuomo is frequently there. Is that because people either love to hate him or love him? What is it that makes him so fascinating to people, do you think?
Well, one, he's the governor of the state. Two, he's got a very famous last name coming from his father, Mario Cuomo. And three, Andrew Cuomo, whether you agree with his policies or disagree with his policies, he is a very active governor. He is doing something new every day of the week. He's coming out with new ideas, new policies, new pork projects. Whatever he's doing, he is an extremely hardworking governor. He's in all corners of the state. And people want to know what he's doing today or tomorrow, yesterday, and also what are the accomplishments that he's had and what are the scandals that are surrounding him. While he has a lot of accomplishments, he also certainly has his share of scandals surrounding him.
So, J.P. Miller, let me ask you this. Have you been the beneficiary of a telephone call or two from the governor? Some people call him the Dark Prince.
I've never met Andrew Cuomo. I wouldn't be unopposed to meeting him, but I've never met him, but I've spoken to people on his staff on occasion. And they're very favorable and very nice to me. And I would say that they run a very professional organization in the governor's office and social media. I see a lot of social media in what I do. They have a top flight social media presence. They are pushing his agenda on social media all the time in a very professional manner.
Well, as a guy who's standing by and whose opinion I really respect because of what you've done, everybody sort of knows, in quotes, that he's running for president.
Yes.
Now a new debate has broken out. The debate is, should he forego the third term, which is very hard for governors, and just run for president in 2020, or should he stay with the governorship and go from there?
He should absolutely stay for the governorship. And the reason why I say that is not for optical reasons, but for a very specific tactical reasons. And that is because if he's governor of the state, Alan, you know, he gets a security detail. He gets his travel paid for. He has a staff that can do research, a staff that can do opposition research. And while people say, well, you know, you really shouldn't have the government staff doing campaign work, everybody knows that that's not the case.
No, in fact, some people, including a guy I used to work for, Fred Orenstein, was indicted. And they beat that because everybody else stood up for him. All the other guys, even his opposition, the Republicans and everybody else, this is a long time ago, and said, hey, you know, this is what we do.
In my opinion, he should absolutely seek reelection. He currently has 60% approval in the state. Being a three-term governor of New York is a great thing to say rather than a two-term governor. And having a full staff at your disposal, all of that stuff, his travel, his research, his staffing would all have to be paid out of campaign dollars.
Well, he does have $27 million with him to do
that. He does. I don't know if that $27 million, though, could be transferred to a federal campaign. And federal campaign dollars are very specific on how you can spend
that
money.
That's true.
And it's very scarce money. He couldn't, you know, he must have a couple hundred people on his staff right now, right? He couldn't afford to do that if he was not governor and just running for president.
So interesting. So in your quest to do this, one of the things I've noticed is that occasionally, I think maybe I'm making a mistake, there are some people who you've been inviting to do columns or thoughts for the Empire Report. In other words, you're not completely an aggregator. You're beginning to branch out into being a newspaper man, if you think about it.
Well, what I do is I don't have my own columns. I simply link to popular columns in the state. So the column that people love to read on is both your click on is both your statewide column and your local column. So I say Char Talk, and I have the and I have your weekly column. Bob Lonsberry in Rochester, Errol Lewis down in New York City. People love to read his columns in the New York Daily News. And so people love to see not only what is the news, but what is the opinion.
But isn't there a temptation to start to say, why don't you write? Somebody calls you up and says, you know, I don't have a newspaper that I'm writing for. I have lots of newspaper, but if I don't have a newspaper, I do a blog. Will you print my blog?
I would certainly link to different people's blog posts, but what I really want to do is I think that people do a good job of reporting the news, and there are a lot of opinions out there. I simply want to aggregate. I want to take so that our readers on the Empire Report, they can go to one page and they have a fulsome picture of everything that's happening in Albany, New York City, Buffalo, Syracuse, everywhere, and they don't have to go to another news source.
Yeah. Okay, so let me go to a couple of questions. First of all, many of us suspect that there's been a move to the left by Cuomo, who got scared to death by Zephyr Teachout when she ran against him. And he realized that with the advancement of Bernie Sanders to a place that a lot of people didn't think he would go, that maybe he better move tack left. I think it's almost indisputable, right?
It's definitely indisputable that he's moved to the left. And his big thing this year, as you know, is this free college tuition. When he announced it, he had Bernie Sanders come and announce it with him. And when the legislature passed it and he signed it, he had Hillary Clinton at the signing ceremony. So he is going to point to $15 minimum wage. He is going to point to the free college tuition for middle-class families. He is going to point to banning fracking in the southern tier as his left-wing bona fides, that I am with you on these issues. I am just as left as Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders when he's trying to win that primary. But he's not.
He started as a conservative sort of guy with his tax caps and things of that kind. I think it's indisputable that he is, as we said, that he's moved to the left. The New York Times said, not so fast, Mr. Governor, on his tuition under $125,000, you get it. But does everybody understand that, or does it just look that way because people say, well, he's treating everybody to under $125,000 to a free college education?
Well, he's treating them to a free education, but he's also saying you have to be in the state for 5 years after you take that college tuition, or else you're going to have to pay that money back. I have no idea how the state's going to implement it. The plan was put in kind of at the last minute. It's been widely panned. When you have both the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times criticize your free tuition plan, you know there's something wrong with it. So the policy,
But the Wall Street Journal is probably saying, JP, probably saying too much, and the New York Times is probably saying too little.
Well, they're both criticizing it because it was really a bumper sticker policy written into law. And yes, people will certainly say, well, he's not as far left as Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders when he runs, because he did run as a moderate originally. But what I've found in politics is your record is not so important. It's how you sell your record.
Absolutely.
And Andrew Cuomo, in my opinion, is pretty darn good at selling his record however way he wants to spin it.
Now, maybe I'm prejudiced, but when I hear him speak, I say, well, you know, this guy has really got to take some speech lessons because, you know, this is not going to play well in Kansas. What do you think?
So when I was on your program last, you mentioned his speech to me, and I thought, that's interesting. And so I thought a little bit more about it after you brought it up, and he is brothers with Chris Cuomo, who's a CNN anchor. And Chris Cuomo sounds like a totally regular human being.
He does.
On his speech.
So Andrew doesn't want to change.
And Andrew sounds different. So I'm wondering, you know, if you're brought up in the same household, my brothers and I, you couldn't tell our accents. You know, we don't have different accents growing up in the same household. So I wonder, is it Chris Cuomo that's putting on a regular person accent? Or is it Andrew Cuomo putting on a more ethnic accent a little bit? I'm wondering what it is. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what I think. As you know, I interviewed Mario for many, many years. I forget how many, but I think it's like 18 years on the air. And people say to me, you know, Andrew sounds just like his father. And I look at him as if they're from outer space, and I say, he does not. He sounds just like his mother. His mother had that way of speaking and has just been awarded, given a Lifetime Achievement Award. But I don't think this stuff plays well in Kansas. And I think he's going to have to figure out what he wants to do about that, because it's Al Smith. By the way, have you ever heard Al Smith's, read the records of Al Smith?
I have heard, yes. Yeah.
This guy's diction was awful, but we didn't have the open media that we have today.
So if I'll play devil's advocate for a minute, that his speech will help him, is that his case, I think, to the Democrat Party is going to be, I'm a tough guy. I can take on Donald Trump. You other people think you can take on Donald Trump, but Donald Trump is a thug. He is a tough campaigner, and I'm a tough guy too, and I can fight with him dirty in the mud. And that's something that I think he's going to sell and use to his advantage, that I have that way of speaking. I have that street fighter mentality in speech, and I can take on Trump because of that.
Well, I think you're right. All of the things you mentioned, including fracking, people like Natalie Merchant and other people had to put his arm up around his back and almost break his arm off before he came out with the anti-fracking thing. I think he put his finger up in the air and said, I better do this. But there were many people who thought he wanted it, and there was some evidence, you know, that he had. So in each case, you're right. It's what people are thinking now, what he can say. So I want to talk to you about A.G. Schneiderman, Attorney General Schneiderman, almost Governor Schneiderman.
I like that, almost Governor, A.G.
Hires Bernie Sanders' consulting firm to raise his profile. What's he up to?
A.G. Schneiderman. I follow him, and he seems like, I'll take a little shot at him, he seems like the poor man's Preet Bharara. He doesn't quite go for the big cases. He doesn't quite make the splashy headlines that Preet Bharara does. I'll take a little shot at Schneiderman. He does, you know, I know he has aspirations to be governor, but I don't see him making the splash of an exciting, crusading Preet Bharara.
No, and as far as Preet Bharara, now that you've brought it up, what's his future looking like, do we think?
It's very hard to say. I can't believe that he wants to try and challenge Andrew Cuomo. He has now said that he's not going to run against Bill de Blasio, so maybe he will take a couple years off and make a fortune. You know, he was in a speech recently. Preet was saying that his brother made $500 million on diapers.com, which sounds like a nice sum of money. Maybe he's feeling like he should make some money before he goes into public service. He is a young guy. He's very smart. He knows that politics is not just personality. It's timing more than anything.
Well, but hasn't he lost the timing now? I mean, look, here was a guy who was indicting people, sending them to jail, being a great crusader, and now he gets out of the limelight a little, although he has been known to take some shots lately. Hasn't he lost some of that impetus?
I think he has, and you can't replace having your name in the headlines every day like he had his name in the headlines. You remember what it's been like over the past number of years, and the public will quickly kind of, you know, put your name to the back burner. So it's a puzzle to me. Usually when you look at politics, Alan, you can kind of tell what's really happening
Sure. Behind
the scenes. And with Preet, I have to imagine that you're a little puzzled too. You're saying, really, what is his plan? What is he going
to
do?
Well, I don't think he wants to make a mistake, that's for sure.
Right.
Okay, let's talk a little bit. You came out of, you know, moderate Republican politics. You worked for Romney on two campaigns as a finance director. I got to ask you this. There does seem to be some dissonance within the Republican Party, which is usually what they say about the Democrats, you know, the circular firing squad and all the rest of it. Give us the inside poop.
I agree with you that there is dissonance among the Republican Party. And when I talk to other Republicans, I hear frustration at Congress that they have been in power for how many years and repealed Obamacare how many times, but now that the Republicans are in power, they can't repeal Obamacare. I hear frustration on the Republican side that
Obamacare, by the way, I should point out, is really Romney Care, which is where it started.
National,
the guy you worked for.
Yes, National Romney Care. So I think there's frustration there. I think there's frustration with people that the Congress didn't and that Trump didn't fund the wall. People in the Republican Party say, boy, Trump, you ran on this. Everybody in the country knew that you were getting elected to build a wall. And, you know, people say, well, it's cost $25 billion or whatever. You know, the government, the federal government spends $25 billion on toilet paper. They could easily pay to build a wall. So I do think there's some frustration on the part of Republicans with, I think, the Congress less than Trump, but certainly Trump's the leader of the, you know.
But
the
Mitch McConnell, I'm sorry to interrupt, JP, but Mitch McConnell, Trump tweets out that, it would just be a majority in the Senate, then they won't need 60 votes, and we're going to change that. We should change that. And McConnell, looking like the turtle, stands up there and says, no, that's not going to happen. Now, there's something to keep your eye on. McConnell did single-handedly probably get Gorsuch named as a Supreme Court justice, disgustingly in my opinion, but he did it. But here he says, I'm not going to show for you.
He did. I think it's a challenge if after 100 days, really, a Supreme Court justice is what you have to hold above your head as a huge accomplishment in your first 100 days. The budget that they're in the process of passing, Charles Schumer is touting the budget, saying how great it is and how much funding is coming to upstate New York. I think it's hurting Trump a little bit with his base. Trump is an excellent salesman, one of the best in the world. He can sell stuff to almost anybody. But I think there is a little bit of frustration within the Republican Party. I think Republicans see Gary Cohn and Jared Kushner as the two most influential people in the White House, and those are two both lifelong Democrats. They see Trump being softer on China and harder against Syria. So I think there is a little frustration in the Republican Party, but the great unifier of the Republican Party, Hillary Clinton, has come back, and she is writing a book, and she is being outspoken,
And she, by the way, there are hints around that she wants to run for president again.
She certainly does. She won't take it off the table. And Hillary Clinton coming out yesterday and talking about how, well, you know, if the game had ended in the eighth inning, I would have won. In my opinion, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are the heart and soul of the Democrat Party. And the more
you keep saying Democrat Party, which I want to call you on because I know Republicans always say Democrat Party. Democrats say the Democratic Party.
I'm sorry.
No,
I'm
you shouldn't be sorry. It's just that it was a tell, as we say in poker.
It's a tell. Okay, fair enough, fair enough. But I think Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are the heart and soul of the Democratic Party. I think the base of the Democrats believe that Bernie really should have won the primary. He won these states on, and Hillary was getting more delegates because of the superdelegates. And the fact that Hillary is writing a book has Republicans salivating and Democrats rolling their eyes because they're saying, I think Democrats are saying, Hillary, please go away. We have a chance to beat Trump if we put up a Chris Murphy, an Elizabeth Warren, a Cory Booker, an Andrew Cuomo. But if it's the Hillary Rodham Clinton show, it is going to help Republicans and hurt the Democrats.
So let's go back to New York State Legislature, although everybody's groaning when I say that and say, bleh. The Independent Democratic Conference, Jeff Klein, the men I call the people I call the traitors, you know, who have left the Democratic Party. Some people, including me, think that there may be some racial issues here in terms of this white group who have finally got somebody on their side who's of some color. And it's always seemed to me that Andrew Cuomo could sit them down, look at them and say, you guys, back where we need you. He hasn't done it because he doesn't want it, right?
I agree. And the independent Democrats already are getting primary opponents coming after them in their home districts.
So it's changing a little bit. In other words, nobody really knew what was happening. But Jeff Klein, the Democrat from the middle of the Bronx, all of a sudden people are saying, wait a second, I thought you were a Democrat.
Yes. So I think the independent Democrats are getting a little bit too cute in terms of them trying to work with the Republicans.
Well, they could get cute, right, JP, because nobody cared. Nobody knew what they were doing. But now they, as you would just indicate brilliantly, I think, that people are waking up.
People are waking up. And when you go into New York City, every single weekend in New York City, there are 100,000 progressives marching in the streets. The left-wing liberal Democratic base is fired up like they've never been before. And when they hear about portions of the Democrat state Senate that are working with Republicans.
Working with Republicans and also saying that means working with Trump.
Working with Trump, yes. And enabling the quote-unquote Trump agenda in New York, it gets these progressives fired up and they say, we will draft a candidate to primary these independent Democrats. And it will be a very interesting fall.
And you know how we'll know? We'll know when Andrew Cuomo, who is, after all, a master tactician, goes and says to them, either get back where you belong or actually takes out after them.
He may have to. And if I know Andrew Cuomo, he will figure out a way to have it work out in his advantage. He will look like whoever wins, he will look like he was on their side and tried to get them to win.
Well, that's it. That's the Capital Connection for this week. We've been talking to one of my favorite people, J.P. Miller, who is the publisher of the Empire Report New York, an online aggregator for New York State political news, and a guy who plays it down the middle. And we'll talk more with him over the coming months. Again, thanks so much. We're out of time, and I hope that you'll all go to www.empirereportnewyork.com. JP, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Alan.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.